Today on Real Radio.
Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there is such little grace extended one toward another to allow each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Peter, when he denied Jesus, it's recorded in the Bible, he repented with weeping.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in chapter 6, taking a look at verses 43 through 45. It's a section where the Messiah uses an agriculture analogy to explain how we think and speak. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Trees, Treasures, and Talk.
It's a law of God. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's going to happen. So here's the great thing. See, you know, you and I are not destined to destruction on this. We just need, if we're sowing to the wrong stuff, we need to back up right now and change to what we're sowing to. Start investing in the things that are godly. Last service, first service, there was a brother that came up to me and he said, and he's been coming here for a long time, I want to tell you something scary happened to me. What happened? He was goofing around with a lottery ticket. Oh, yeah? And I won $3 million. And I said, man, I'm going to pray for you. You're in deep trouble. That's exactly what I said. I said, you're in deep trouble. What? I said, now you're responsible to God for $3 million. I would not want that job. You say, well, oh, man, I would do this and I would do that. That's the problem. It's God's money. Everything is God's. It's His. What are you going to do with it? You can either make it a treasure for righteousness, or you can make it a treasure that's absolutely destructive. What are you going to do? You say, boy, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You tell that guy. Yeah, you let him have it. That's some good. Yeah, that's good. You tell him that. Wait a minute. It's true about me and it's true about you. What? I don't have $3 million. No, but you have hands and feet and a mouth and a body and life and a dollar. It's all the Lord's. Is it being used for His glory? That makes it a treasure. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure, that is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency may and the power may be of God and not of us. That's beautiful. Also, verse 45, we learn this. Is what's in my treasure chest, is it something that should be avoided then? Wow. He says in verse 45, Jesus is speaking. Notice how politically correct he is. I'm joking. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. He just says it. Can you imagine today if somebody said, yes, I believe the evil that's done in this world is done by evil men because their hearts are evil. That person would be sued by the ACLU in a flash. Think about that. Jesus says it like it is. Evil comes from evil hearts, from evil people. Strong statement, absolutely factual. God Himself is saying it. What do we do with it? How do we reckon this? Understand this, that when we look at things that would bring about evil, if we sow to those things, invest in those things, take in those things, and listen, it doesn't even have to be necessarily, quote, evil. It could be something that is absolutely worthless, like trying to bite into cotton candy for nutritional value. There ain't nothing there. Oh, did you read your Bible? No, I didn't read my Bible, but I've read these magazines today. Well, okay. Did you pray to the Lord at all? Did you ask God's direction for your life today? Well, I thank them for my breakfast. You're going to get in trouble this way. It doesn't have to be grossly evil. It can be just neglectful. Jesus is warning, whatever is being deposited in our hearts, it's going to come out. And no one judges, by the way, the treasure chest or the leaves about what kind of fruit or treasures inside the box are hanging on the tree. It's important that we understand that. As a Christian, I want to encourage all of you this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He goes on to say in verse 5, John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Isn't that encouraging? I'm blessed by that. Man, all I need to do to produce fruit is hang out with Jesus. John 15, 7. Listen to this. Everyone's going to want to write this verse down after I say it. So listen to it. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my word abides in you, you may ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. So what? Wait, what was that verse? He said, if you abide in me, that is, if you live your life in me, and my word is living in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it's going to happen. You say, man, I want a Ferrari. That's not how it works. He said, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, if his word is in you, you're not going to be caring if you have a Ferrari or not. Okay, it doesn't matter. You won't be asking stupid things like that. Oh, man, it doesn't matter. If his word is in you and you're in him, you're going to say things like this, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it. And that's the most exciting. I tell you, when you pray that prayer, you need to put on a parachute and a helmet. Because, baby, it's going to get exciting. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. Third point this morning, trees and treasures and talk. What am I saying about others? Verse 45. What am I saying about others? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Wow, if I'm a good tree, good stuff's going to come out. If I'm a bad tree, bad stuff's going to come out. If I'm a treasure chest and I've got nothing in it, nothing comes out. If I'm a treasure chest with something in it, that's good. Good's going to come out. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty terrifying. What's in your heart? We know what's in your heart. What's in my heart? You know what's in my heart. It comes out. Now, let's be honest. Hit the road. I mean, don't go anywhere. I'm just saying, rubber hitting the road. Here it is. Don't you respect people, Christian brothers and sisters, who are real, rather than those who are somebody in front of you and then they're different away from you? I got to tell you right now, I have been, Lisa and I both have been tricked by people who are something in front of us and different. And we find out later from the populace, from the neighborhood. This person, I don't, you what? I don't know them like that. Oh, this person, this. We were tricked. I would rather be with you and you with me, and we're the same people, in and out of church, in and out of the pulpit. That's Christianity. Real. And that doesn't mean that it's a justification for carnality. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about you and I striving, disciplining in our lives, following after God, serving one another, serving the community, serving the world, going for it for God. And look, just along the way, when you and I are witnessing, you and I could be, in fact, in a couple of weeks, a bunch of us are going to be preaching Jesus on the streets of Russia. And you know what? We're going to be jet-lagged, we're going to be tired, we're going to be thirsty, we're going to be hot. And what is real Christianity? Like this? Watch. Is this it? 24/7? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's that? You just slapped me or cussed me out or threw rocks at me? That's not real. Reality is you duck and you say, let's get out of here. But people are afraid to be, as a Christian, real among one another because, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there is such little grace extended one toward another to allow each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And it's false. Again, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying, well, you know, none of us are perfect, so let's just forget about it. Not at all. What I'm saying is reality as a believer is this. That like Peter, when he denied Jesus, it's recorded in the Bible, he repented with weeping. When you see and when you're laboring with a brother or sister for the cause of Christ, that's where, like David's mighty men of valor are born. When we're living together, sharing together, serving together, imagine for a moment this whole area, for whatever reasons, knocked down, earthquake, terrorism, I don't know, but imagine that we'd have to live together. We have no homes, we have nothing, we have to be together. Imagine. You're going to find out the depth and the level of each other's Christianity really fast. Can I have some water? That's my water. You're gonna have to get along and work it out. What do I say? What am I saying about others tells about me? You say, what? Yeah, this way, very quickly, we'll be done. What I'm saying about other people, what's coming out of my mouth, out of the abundance of my heart, it speaks about who I am. You want to know me? How do I talk about others? You want to know me? How do I talk about this church or you? Does somebody want to know you? Well, how do you talk about others? That's who you are. Do you say you're loving, but in reality, your mouth is destroying people? Then don't say you're loving, because you're not. Think about it. The best way for me to find out who I really am is to ask myself, what am I saying about you? And look, I hate to shock you, but this translates even over into relatives. Christianity is even powerful when it comes to relatives. What you think about Uncle John or, you know, Aunt Susie and what you say, hey, you're a Christian, Jesus is there too. It's out of the heart the mouth speaks. Isn't that kind of terrifying? No wonder why in the Psalms, the psalmist cries out and says, God, put a gate on my mouth. Better than that, Lord, change my heart. And that's what he does. It speaks about me out of the abundance of my heart. And then thirdly, finally, we'll be done with this. What am I saying about others? What am I saying about others tells about the Lord. Meaning this, about the Lord in my life. Is God really big in my life? Listen, do I have what the Bible says is the fear of the Lord in my life? He's your God. He's not your buddy. And I know Tommy Lasorda said he's the big dodger in the sky. He is not the big dodger in the sky. Yankee something, anything but a dodger. So, now listen, focus. It is absolutely essential that we have a healthy view of God. When the scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's that fear of the Lord, a healthy respect that causes me to tiptoe around this life a little more carefully. That when I see the guy at the end of the ramp of the freeway with I'm homeless, I want food. I know what you're thinking right now. But maybe, just maybe, who knows, but maybe God literally knew that that guy would be standing there the moment I, the Christian, would come down the ramp. Yeah, but the guy's a bum. You don't know that. I don't know that. Only God knows. But this we know. You and I are there at the stop sign, and he's right there with his little sign. Do we at least pray for him? At the very least, we could pray for him. We could roll down the window and say, I'll pray for you. If you have something, give it to him. If you don't have anything, just say, I'll pray for you. But how do you know that's not a divine appointment? We don't know who that guy is. Yeah, but I saw in 2020, those guys making $100,000 a year scamming people. You don't know that for him. True story, a friend of mine this week, a pastor of another church, was out with his family on his day off, and there was a guy bumming around. And he noticed that his two young boys were being distracted by this bum guy. And so he says to himself, I'm going to go give this guy some money just to get him out of here. So he walks over and he confesses, I had the worst attitude you could possibly imagine. And I'm a pastor of a church. I walked over there and he goes, I didn't even say a word to the guy. I just opened up my wallet and I gave him five ones. There. And he went to turn around and the guy goes, excuse me. And he goes, what? And he goes, I want to thank you for giving me something. You're the first person that's given me anything. He said, I'm a Christian. You say, yeah, a lot of people said it. Just wait. I'm a Christian. My wife wound up somehow stealing my home, everything I own, out from underneath my feet with her boyfriend. I've been evicted from my own home. I'm 4 days on the street. I don't know what to do. I'm totally scared and terrified. I know the Lord's going to take care of me, and I want to thank you for hearing the Lord speak to you to give me something, because I know that God's got a future for my life. It wasn't just my wife in my house. She left me for her boyfriend. I have nothing, but the Lord's got a plan for my life. Exactly. That he said, Jack, I broke down, and I started crying so hard. I walked back to the guy. He said he was holding me. I was holding him, and I begged for his forgiveness. Wow. All right, here we go. We end with this. The whole context of the teaching is Jesus making it very clear to us, the believers, don't go around condemning people. Evaluate them. Of course, I want you to do that. Listen to what they're saying in line of what they're living, and you'll be able to conclude, regardless of what they're saying, if they truly know me or not. The evidence is overwhelming. Just be quiet and watch. Now, if you're going to go to a brother, for example, that you and I know, you know a brother or a sister who's not living for Jesus, they're messing up, they're hurting themselves, they're in disobedience to the Lord, what do we do about that? Do we judge them? Oh, man! Oh! No. Do we leave them alone and let them continue like that? No. We go to them. And when we do this, by the way, Christians who still want to keep sinning, you know what they say? You're judging me, man. No, I see that you're doing this, you know, and it's not good. The Bible says right here, you know, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. It's going to kill you. Man, back off. You're judging me. Gee whiz, where's the grace, man? Okay, that person's crazy. Didn't know what they still want to keep doing their thing. Just let them go do it until as it was with the children of Israel, the quail. Remember they wanted meat? Give us meat, God. We want meat. We want meat. We're sick of this manna bread. We want meat. God says, all right, all quail, calling all quail. Fly at about the strike zone. Right across their chest and let them eat quail. And the Bible says that they had quail coming out of their nose. Could you imagine having a quail come out of your nose? You sneeze, feathers are going everywhere. Anyway, see, I told you I think like that. Anyway, what do? When we see a brother that's hurting and messing up, jot it down, we'll be done. We're going to come screeching across the finish line right now. Number one, be humble about it, will you? You're going to go correct the brother that's messed up? Be humble. Be humble. Number two, do it prayerfully. Be praying before you go talk to your dear brother or sister. Number three, be biblical. Biblical. Four, be loving. 5, be merciful. 6, be an example of Jesus to them. Next, privately. Be private about it, will you? Be private. Don't pray about them in a prayer meeting. Dear God, you know our brother Mike, who is, got caught robbing the store. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, people are saying it is true. And you know, I know he goes to this second service here at church, sits right about there. Dear God, you know what? That's gossip, and I can't, there's a lightning bolt that's going to hit you, I would think. Don't do that. That's privately, quietly, go speak to them. And then finally, graciously, considering yourself. Don't come riding in on your white pony. Hey, I'm here, man. Yeah, I'm going to point out some evil in your life. You'll thank me later. No, don't do that. Come up to them graciously, because you know what? Whatever's going on in their life, if you don't watch it could happen in your life. Have we forgotten that? If we let down the guard, oh, but a little, we're right back to where Jesus delivered us out of. Have you noticed that? Boy, do we need each other. Strong words of Jesus. To encourage you to come back next week, Jesus is going to say, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I ask you to do? Huh? So you can find a parking space next week anywhere you want to.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Trees, Treasures, and Talk, taken from the New Testament account written by Luke, chapter 6, and verses 43 through 45. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, recently we've been telling you about hischannel.com, hischannel.com, and of course there's a link from our website, realradioactive.org. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about what's happening at hischannel.com and on Wednesday nights here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, at hischannel.com.
Okay, so that's hischannel.com. Once again, hischannel.com. Or, of course, we provide a link at realradioactive.org, our website, realradioactive.org. You can also call for more information. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information, including our mailing address, can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.